It's The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? How you doing, big boy?
Oh, I love when we're on remote and you let out that yell. The whole place just goes
They're
wet.
Never used to it. They never
what
get
the hell
used
is
to
that
it.
Noise?
Jeez, we got a little bit of snow going on there. How you doing, big boy? You a little crabby today or what?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not crabby. I only get frustrated when you don't help, though, which is all the time.
We'll pull the curtain back. Rich and I brought everything in. We set it up, and Brady set it up wrong and broke something. And now we had to go back and get something that we had to replace the flux capacitor, and now we have to go ahead and set up the speakers all over again.
And your poor wife is dragging in 150-pound speaker systems.
Exactly. So, I mean, look, you screwed it up. We don't hold you responsible for it, Brady. Just you broke it. The company will charge you for it. What can we do?
I mean, that is not true either. I did not do anything of the sort.
Somebody broke it. Didn't break itself.
Maybe it was the people at our sister music stations who used it more recently than us.
I think that's 100% right.
Yeah, I think that is it.
Those crazy kids.
I think they totally broke it. Unbelievable. Tell everybody where we are, Brady. This is an unbelievable place. I love this place.
We're out here at First Republic Brewery in Essex. This is a place Jess took me for my birthday, and we've come back a few more times since, and once 6:55 hits and the last break of Champlain Valley Game Night goes through, I'm going to be sampling all the fine beer here.
Look
because
at you.
Every one of them.
I'm going to make her drive home. This is the place to be. This is the spot. If you know anything about home brewing, this is the spot for you because this is home brew heaven. If you know nothing about home brewing, this is the spot for you because it's home brew heaven. We've got our own favorite beers there up on the big billboard here. So come on, hang out, try the beers that we're recommending. And also, some of the money today is going to SOAR, which is a group that benefits veterans come back from combat and come back from service. So we appreciate them being here also. So a good cause. They've got great food coming. The barbecue is on its way.
Yes.
So, you want to stop in after work. I mean, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, and we already had about a good 15, 20 people have come in and out. And
I thought you were going to say 15, 20 beers before the show.
Yeah, well, that too. But, I mean, no, they stop on in.
Wonder with him.
Yeah, exactly. No, we've had a bunch of people already stopped on in, said hello, picked up something for the night, and either head on home or hung out, talked to us for a little bit. So very sweet place here. Rich and I were checking it out, all the stuff they sell here.
Hey, you talk about people who know nothing about home brewing. That would be me.
Yeah.
I'm over in the corner, and I can't even pronounce half the stuff, but unless you really come to a place like this, you really don't have an appreciation for what you just drink your beer down and you don't even think about it. But in a place like this, it kind of forces you to notice there's a lot of work involved in this.
Oh, my roommate, when I was a freshman in college, made corn whiskey out of copper tubing that he took out of the air conditioning vents. Can you believe that? It almost poisoned us. I mean, it was the worst thing I ever. I go, this is not, I'm drinking gasoline. I go, can we go to the store and buy something that's already been, you know, cooked up and stuff like that? Do I got to make our own moon whiskey or corn whiskey or something?
It's come a long way since then. These guys are doing it great. They opened up about 2 years ago. This is the spot to be. This is the spot you want to be. You want to come hang out with Kevin, Travis, Heather, everybody here who works here, who's a part of it. They've treated us well. We've got swag. We got T-shirts. We got our bumper stickers. We got stuff from SOAR. We got all kinds of
stuff. And you can either try a little sampler cup or you can get like a mug or stuff like that.
If you are coming, you want to get today we're calling it the Brady Republic Pale Ale.
Wow. Look at you pushing your beer.
That's number four. So if you come here, you want number four.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also, we can get the grenade. You can get the whole growler. I mean, you get a choice of a whole bunch of different sizes.
And I love the way they give me, you know, because we are having this being a contest for the amount of people who buy each of our types, and they give me the lightest possible beer.
It's because you're a lightweight.
You are lightweight.
I get the 4.2% stuff.
You are a lightweight, no doubt about that. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a Friday. Kick on back in, on your way home, or if you're near the neighborhood, stop on by, say hello to us. All kinds of little games on the table, too, so pull up a seat and check out the show.
And we're in that little strip mall to the left, just past the Global Foundries entrance on River Road, heading towards, if you're heading south, towards Richmond.
Yeah. When I called it a strip mall, though, you mocked me, didn't you, when I called it a strip mall
before? I just didn't know that's what these were called.
Yeah, that you learned something new, and you started using the word. How about that? Brady, what's coming up on the show today, for crying out loud?
Lots going on. What a guest list we had today. Before that, could the Patriots trade up in the draft and take a quarterback? We'll do that in 10 minutes. Jeremy Schapp of ESPN, E60, the sporting life on ESPN Radio. He joins us at 4:35. Steve Levy, SportsCenter anchor.
My buddy Steve Levy.
You have been name-dropping Steve Levy for the entire year and a half we've done this show.
Yes.
And you have never once delivered him.
Never. Never.
But
never.
Did he deliver him for this one?
No, he did not.
No, I did not. Brady had to call him up and threaten us.
Did you have to not mention Arnie to make the interview happen?
No, we mentioned Arnie. What really did it was that Oswego and Plattsburgh Hockey are playing this week, and he's an Oswego graduate, so he wanted to come on and talk trash to all the Plattsburgh fans. So that's at 5 o'clock. Power play at 5:35. Aaron forgot we were playing power play, and he's the only one in the studio. There's no intern with him, so he's going to have a fun time answering all the questions.
Wow.
So basically 15 minutes of complete chaos.
Wow. And I was looking at the questions, Brady. You didn't make it as easy as we had a winner last week because I wrote the power play, did we not?
Yeah, we don't want to want a winner.
Wow.
Because you don't want a winner?
You raided my prize closet for everyone, and now there's still a lot of good stuff left, but I got to make that last a little bit.
All right. Well,
that is tough.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. We're just going through the answers right now, for crying out loud. All right, Brady, what are we starting off with? What's going on with the Red Sox?
Well, the Red Sox reportedly have a one-year deal in place with versatile infielder Eduardo Nunez. This is our daily spring training update. So, Aaron, give us the MLB on Fox music. This is what we do when we do the spring training update. So we'll get that music going down. But, yeah, it's a one-year deal. That's what MLB.com reports. There's a possibility of an option for a second year. That has not been confirmed yet. We talked a little bit about Nunez yesterday. On the surface.
Yes, he did, but I brought it up, but go ahead.
On the surface,
yes.
Really good move for the Red Sox.
Do we know what the one-year deal was for, by any chance, money-wise, Brady? Do we know?
We do not.
All right. Remember when I said yesterday, wouldn't it be crazy if, because I'd give him a three-year, $30 million contract, and I don't know which one of you said, I don't know if we can get him for, maybe we could, but I'm sure he's going to be asking for more. I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams that you could have gotten him for 1 year or maybe a second-year option. I'm not even sure. That is exactly what the Red Sox needed. Unfortunately for Nunez, I'm starting to think now maybe collusion's coming into effect here or something, because that's a awfully low contract for somebody to sign at the bottom end, and a one-year deal for a guy that I'm sure maybe had some other suitors. I'm a little surprised.
Would somebody please explain to me, is the guy a bad clubhouse guy?
No,
is there something wrong with this guy? He's played on four different teams. He bounces from team to team, and all he does is create runs, and he steals a ton of bases. His average over his career over a season is 16 homers, 11 homers, 59 RBIs, and he's stolen 40 bases a couple of times. He came to Boston last year, and you saw what he did. He raked. I mean, he ended up hitting about .320, hurt his knee in the playoffs, and that was that, and maybe that's part of a concern. But this is one of these guys you look at and you go, why in the world can't he find a suitor?
Well, I think if I'm him, I would have wanted a starting job, and that's not what really is the case here in Boston, because he's going to play second while Pedroia's out. That's for sure. We know that. Then he's there with Devers, okay? I mean, when Devers, his insurance on Devers in his second year, his first full year in case he struggles, he can play the outfield, but he's not any better than the three outfielders they've got. What I really wonder about is what happens with Martinez if they sign him, because there's not enough at-bats for everybody and Hanley Ramirez. So it's a good move having Nunez in there, but how do you finagle the playing time if and when you bring in Martinez?
Well, first of all, I'm starting to think, what's up with Pedroia? Because that's Nunez's spot until Pedroia goes ahead, comes on back. And even when Pedroia comes on back, he's going to have to earn that back. Just because he's got, a million years left on the contract, I'm not just going to give it to him, especially if Nunez is off to a hot start. So as far as I'm concerned, not only is he the starting second baseman, he's the second baseman until further notice. Yeah. Because I'm just not going to hand it over to Pedroia. That's why they signed them to the one-year deal. I thought that was just a great move by the Red Sox every which way.
I mean, he's offensively, he's Pedroia with speed. This is a great mystery to me.
I love Nunez, and I think having Nunez and having too much depth is a good problem to have. But you talk about why couldn't Nunez get a job this late in the spring. A lot of players don't have jobs this late in the spring. You look at some of the top starters on the market. Jake Arrieta doesn't have a job. Alex Cobb doesn't have a job. A lot of guys aren't getting jobs, and it's just because we have heard that managers, or general managers rather, have wised up in terms of how they're going to delineate contracts and how they're going to delineate years.
You know, talking about people that don't have jobs, and by the way, if you want to get in the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. You know I love Jake Arrieta. Supposedly he turned down the Cubs and the money they offered him. So I'm not sure if he's looking for a King's ransom or looking to break the bank.
He's looking for Darvish-type money. Well,
and he should get it. If you're getting Jake Arrieta from how many years ago was it, Brady? 2-3 years ago? I don't even remember.
Yeah, he was historically good.
Yeah, phenomenally good.
Unhittable.
Unbelievably good.
Yep.
If I'm getting that guy, yes, you got the money.
That was three years ago.
What do you want from me? I mean, he's the premier pitcher out there. I think he's better than Yu Darvish, who tips his pitches and didn't have a great World Series run.
You're not getting Arrieta for, I mean, you're going to get him for, he wants 6 years, $130 million.
No, I meant if I'm getting that type of pitcher, that was.
Yeah, but you're not getting that type of pitcher. You're getting the guy who he has been last year, who walks more guys, who gives up more home runs, who pitches to harder contact. He's not that guy.
What makes him think he's going to get that type of money then, especially in this type of market?
So. Because it's going to be his one shot at free agency, and he wants to make it count.
Yeah. And I think there's somebody out there that's going to say, if we can just get two-thirds of what he was 3 years ago, then it's still worth all that money, because he was that good 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, but anyway, for Nunez, though, a good deal by the Red Sox.
Yeah.
1 year, and you said it was an option on the second year possibly. We don't know that.
Yeah, and we don't know if it would be a team option. We don't know if it would be a player option. We don't know if it would be a vesting option. There's a lot of different options that there can be built into a contract. But I like Nunez. I just wonder what exactly, again, is that playing time going to look like? I think this affects Hanley Ramirez more than anybody. He's the guy who fell out of favor last year. And you look at this, Nunez hit .324 against lefties last season. Hanley hit .197 against lefties. So the righty is supposed to be able to hit lefties, and Hanley didn't do it, and Nunez did it real well. Maybe Nunez is that super utility guy. Maybe he also plays first base against lefties and bumps Hanley out a little bit more often.
You know, for a guy that they kind of needed, the Red Sox, I'm surprised they got away only giving him a one-year deal. Now that I'm thinking about it, as you said, he could play him for Hanley, could play him for Pedroia, obviously. This was a guy they needed. I would think that they would have had to bend over backwards and give him a 2-3. That's why yesterday I said a 3-year deal, $30 million on the dotted line.
Plus, he's that guy who can play every position. I mean, he's just invaluable. He's a guy who can hit, who can play every infield position for you, and that's exactly, you would think, what so many teams need.
But here's what I don't get. Teams need that, yes, and teams would like this issue. Nunez could have been a starter somewhere. And did Nunez leave a starting offer on the table to try to win a World Series? Did Nunez? Because Nunez could have been a starter.
How old is he?
He's 30.
Okay.
What if, now, look, no one wants to play for the Miami Marlins, but could Eduardo Nunez have been a starter on the Marlins and gotten a little more money? Probably not, because the Marlins aren't giving
money.
Right,
they're pretty cheap.
But what if he went to the Pirates? I'm just throwing out teams. Could he have gotten a 3-year, $24 million deal to go be a starter somewhere? I think he probably could have gotten a better deal. I wonder why he sacrificed that.
Well, because of that type of money, year to year, you're probably going to put more money. Why go ahead and tie yourself to a 3-year deal if you're not going to be happy with the money that you're going to get per year? So I can understand that. Maybe, you know, he's probably happy in Boston, says, I'm going to play. I know I'm going to play for Pedroia. I know I'm going to go ahead and play for Hanley. And you know what? Do we know exactly? Wasn't there an update on Pedroia that we were supposed to find out like a week ago or something like that? It was like, oh, if I find out good, you know, it was like a big day, one day last week or something like that.
Right? It was if he was cleared to run.
Right.
He is going to be at spring training. He's showing up a little bit later than everybody else, but not much later. He had said his goal was to be there for opening day. That would seem tough to me. That would seem tough for him to be able to hit. But if anybody could do it and wants to do it, it would be Dustin Pedroia.
Wait, I hate to, I mean, I almost want Pedroia to just take his own sweet time now with Nunez. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to put Nunez on the bench after what he did in Boston last year.
Don't you think that that's going to give Pedroia even more of a sense of urgency to try to get back? Because he sees the writing on the wall.
Oh,
he knows that Nunez is good and knows that Nunez can play everywhere, including his position.
I mean, that's right. That's all small time thinking. When you got 4 years left on the contract, I'm not going to be worried about the first 4 weeks when I got 4 years. But, right. I mean, that's not his mentality.
And the other thing, too, is if Devers gets off to a start, which he may very well. I mean, it was a shock last year. He was up there to hit 230 and play a little D and learn the game at the major league level. He ended up hitting 284 with some power. I don't think he's hitting 284 this year. It would surprise me. But, I mean, with Nunez, if Devers doesn't hit in the beginning, maybe a couple of days off, you shuffle him over to third.
Well, I'm with you on the second part, in the latter half of your statement. He is there to be an insurance policy on Devers, who could have the book figured out on him, who could get tired. All of the above are possibilities for a guy in his first full season of starting. But to say that Devers was up there to hit 230 and learn the game, I think is a miscalculation. You had Pablo Sandoval that could do that. Pablo Sandoval could have stayed on the roster, hit 225, have seven home runs and bring in 30. He could have done that. You DFA'd Pablo Sandoval to bring up your top hitting prospect. That's why you did that.
Right, but my point being that I think that's what they were expecting out of Devers. Who's what did they bring? What was he, 19? He was 20, whatever, when they brought him up.
Yeah, I don't
think they were expecting him to be a 280 hitter right out of the gate.
I don't think they were expecting that, but they didn't bring him up to just get his feet wet and hit 196.
I'm not talking about 196, but if he had hit 230. I mean, 196, you're not staying. Are the rest of, you're in Pawtucket if you're hitting 196.
Now, pitchers and catchers are in. Are the rest of the subs in yet? What do they get? Is it what? Pitchers and catchers report? And what is it? Pitchers and catchers, and then the rest of the subs? Right. Is that how they call
it? The second baseman arrive on Tuesday, and then the shortstops.
Yeah. Oh, geez. You know what kills me? We have, what, another 6 more weeks of spring training.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There you go.
And you,
less than that.
Can't wait.
Wow, that's right. It's a week less this year, right?
Yesterday was the 6-week mark, so we're now 5 weeks and 6 days.
Gosh. By the way, are you, and I used to be like this as a kid, are you anal enough to look at the records during spring training? Do you like, go Mariners or not?
I just like to see the players do well. However, I've realized over time that spring training success or failure is not indicative of what's coming. Especially, you look at Arizona, these are hitters' parks and hitters' weather. You're not getting the same weather in Phoenix that you're getting in New York, Boston, Chicago.
No, you're not. That's for damn sure.
By the way, I don't know if it's more stressful to play Jenga or watch people play Jenga. I'm not even focused right now on what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying to watch these guys.
I'm waiting to see that. Who's the next one that's going to knock it over? Brady, tell everybody where we are, for crying out loud.
First Republic Brewery in Essex, right on River Road, right near the Essex Police Station. Come on, hang out. It is going to be it's a fun day. It's already been good, and we can't wait.
Eric and Milton want you to talk about Ohtani.
I don't want to talk about Ohtani. He's an Angel fan. I want to cry myself to sleep
about
Ohtani.
According to Arnie, we'll be seeing him up close and
personal. Oh, my brother got back to me. He has his house rented out starting March 1st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there you go. That's going to take care of our Anaheim-Boston Red Sox trip, unless we all go get a hotel room. So.
Or, as you taught me, an Airbnb.
Yeah, you love that Airbnb.
I never heard of it. You told me I should get one,
you
and
like
I did
that.
It.
Airbnb.
Gosh, it's like living for free.
Yeah, it's not too bad, man. Brady, we're off and running. Remember now, come on by. We're going to be here until 7 o'clock, First Republic Brewing Company in Essex. We'll go ahead and obviously do the show at 6, Brady Webb, Champaign Valley Game Night from 6 to 7. All kinds of great beer specials, but more important, get the number 3 caught
seven.
In the webs. Brady's,
Republic Pale Ale.
And Brady, what's the name of yours, Rich?
I can't even pronounce
Kolsch.
It.
Kolsch.
Yes.
Well, that's what they
did that used to be a beer? Nah, that's a different one. All right, there you go. So come on by, and like we said, all kinds of stuff we're giving away, having a little fun Friday afternoon, so stop on by on your way home. Brady, what is coming up next segment?
The Patriots, could they be ready to make a big trade? And it's not what you'd expect.
All right, we'll get into that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Brady, tell everybody where we are.
First Republic Brewing Company in Essex. This is the spot that you want to be. I've already added the bumper sticker to my laptop.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm all in. I am all in.
You love this place. It is awesome. It is fantastic.
Well, I've been here a
bunch. Good crowd. Yeah, good crowd, too. People coming in and out, getting a beer on the way home or trying out. Eight different times, too. So.
Eight different types of beer. I tell you, I'm going to make up for the last time I was here, by the way. Last time I was here was pizza and a pint night. and I missed out on all the pizza. I got here right as they were about to close. I was hoping to scrounge a piece right before, and they were done. They're bringing barbecue tonight.
I know. I'm ready for the barbecue.
Brisket.
I am ready for the barbecue.
Man.
By the way, are you going to be sick to death about talking about Ohtani, or you're not going to boycott talking Ohtani? That's all anybody wants to hear about.
When Ohtani plays the Red Sox, we can talk about him.
Oh, no. What are you talking about? You know what? I don't even care anybody about on the Red Sox more than I care about Ohtani playing. I'd rather have, like, the Ohtani report than the Red Sox.
When they play the Red Sox, we'll have reason to talk about Ohtani.
We should talk about him every day.
Well, stop. You're just mocking me.
No, I actually,
you don't even like Ohtani. You hate Ohtani.
And that's the point, though. That's the point. It's not only not mocking you, but just, like, the whole world. Because you heard about, like, the reporters that are covering the Angels. I mean, it's like 10 times the amount of the usual amount. It's crazy. You know what? I am so curious. I'm not kidding around. I want to see what he's. I'm going to watch every day. What's he going to bat? How his pitching's going to be? I really want to see how great this guy is going to be.
You
I'm not kidding around.
You are the biggest hypocrite in this room.
No, I want to see how.
You're
I
the biggest
do.
Hypocrite. At least admit you're a hypocrite. Because
why am I a hypocrite?
When I was talking about Ohtani, you're like, oh, who would want this guy? We never heard of him.
Well, I totally still believe that though. But, I still believe that though.
But leading up to the NBA draft, you're like, oh my god, the Celtics must take Lonzo. I can't be wrong. In case Lonzo is going to be the next Magic Johnson. I can't be
Lonzo,
wrong.
Well, you know, Lonzo turned out better than Fultz.
And the Patriots are going to lose every game this year.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
But see, that's different. That's just Arnie being a troll.
No.
This is you saying you buy into the hype on Lonzo.
You're buying into the Ohtani hype.
Right, because I do buy into hype. You're like, oh, no. We got no. Look at who he's playing against. It's not the same competition, whereas Lonzo becomes mid-level stats in the Pac-12, and you're like, oh, next Magic Johnson.
I don't think you guys understand coming to play baseball in the United States of America in the MLB, okay? I think you kind of downplay it.
I don't understand it. I mean, what's the difference and between it's the same sport with the same rules.
It's a different ball.
Okay, well, all right. But
there's a big difference. It's actually,
but I mean, the rules are the same. You hit the ball out of the park, it's a home run.
The players aren't as good as Japan as they are here.
I understand that, but I don't think it's going to be a huge transition. I mean, does he speak any English?
I think he does a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say it's broken. But,
one part I agree with him on this is I'm fascinated by what's going to happen, especially at the pitching end. I mean, is it going to – what happens? I mean, it's just such a unique situation. What if he hits 220? Through the end of April. Does that mean he just becomes a pitcher?
Nobody has come in with this type of hype before. I mean, except for
Bryce Harper.
I would say Bryce Harper, but Trout was caught us by surprise. We're not ready for that. When Judge, the year before, he had that big year last year, he was, you know, nothing that great. So this is like hype machine here.
But this is a unique situation. You've never had that. You never have this. I mean, Trout comes in, he's a hitter, and he hit well.
There's a difference, though, Rich. You're naturally inquisitive about what he's going to do.
Yes.
Arnie's rooting for him to fail because of the hype machine.
Yes.
There's a difference.
I'm rooting for him to fail 100%.
I know you are.
100%.
But you root for Lonzo.
Not in my house.
You root for Lonzo to succeed.
I do root for Lonzo.
Well, the Sox are out there in week three of the season, so we can talk about it that week.
Let's get to the Patriots. What's going on there, Brady? But you think maybe they could go ahead and trade for a quarterback or what?
I'm not thinking that. Kay Adams of the NFL Network, she thinks the Patriots are going to make a big move here right around NFL draft time. Aaron, back in the studio, give us that Kay Adams cut on what she says about the Pats.
Is that I'm going to stay, I'm going to get the keys to the Ferrari, I'm going to have the Patriots, and I want my guy now. I want to start developing my guy. You got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Brissett is gone. I like a guy in this draft that went into the decision to stay in New England. Mm. We're going to trade up.
All right, did she say trade up?
She said, I think they're going to trade up, and then if I'm Josh McDaniels, part of the reason why I stayed is because I said, we're going to pick the quarterback that I want to work with moving forward, and she thinks, in order to get that guy, you're going to trade up into the top 10 or so.
I didn't know she meant trade up in the first round.
Trade up in the first round.
Because I'm not so sure you're going to pay a king's ransom to trade up in the first round, because you're not going to go ahead and get the first two picks. So that means you're not going to get Rosen and you're not going to get Darnold. So you're really trading up to get yourself Baker Mayfield or a Josh Allen. That's all you're going to go ahead and trade up again.
So you're just assuming Cleveland's going to take a quarterback instead of a guy like Barkley.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And if they don't take a quarterback, quarterback, they'll trade out of the number one spot and move down and get Barkley at number three.
This almost feels to me like a draft day trade. This isn't something that happens.
No, this is draft day.
I think the Patriots have to wait and see how the first five or six picks shake out because, I mean, there are people who don't need a quarterback. Indy, obviously, well, we assume that his health is going to get better, but they don't need a quarterback, and they're at the number three. What if one of those two guys is sitting there at three?
A number of the top 10 teams don't need a quarterback. Indy, we presume, at three. The Browns don't need two of them, so at 1 and 4, one of those spots is not a quarterback. Tampa at 7 doesn't. Chicago at 8 doesn't. San Fran at 9 doesn't. Oakland at 10 doesn't.
Right. So if it goes in that order, I can bank it's not going to go in that order.
Okay, well, that's the draft order that's set right
now. No, I know that, but I think there'll be a lot of trades, but go ahead.
I don't think the Patriots should trade up because, as you said, you don't want to pay the king's ransom for it. You have a lot of other needs right now. Quarterback is a need, but if you trust yourself to develop a quarterback and you're McDaniels, you can go through eventually if you do take over the head coaching responsibilities someday. Maybe you find that guy in the third round where you found Russell Wilson, or the fourth round where you found Dak Prescott, or the sixth round where you found Tom Brady. You have too many other needs in too short a window to fill because you have to win in Brady's time frame. You have too many other needs to go out and sell the farm for 5-6 years from now.
Doesn't make sense to me because either you're only trading up for one or two quarterbacks. You're trading up for Josh Allen out of Wyoming, and I just can't do that. He's just so unproven. Or you're trading for Baker Mayfield, and then you're trading for Baker Mayfield where you're trading up to get him, and you're not going to play him for 3 to 4 years from now. I completely disagree. I don't think you're going to trade up in the first round in the top 10 to get something like that, a Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State, or quarterbacks, you can get maybe in the second, third, fourth round, unless you want a Lamar Jackson out of Louisville, and I think he'll be mid to late first round, even if he goes in the first round at all. So, no, I don't see that happening.
Well, that's the thing, too. If you're going to trade, I mean, you're going to have to trade the farm just to get, like, the number two, the number three pick, you would think. Do you want to bring in a guy like Rosen or a Darnold and have him sit? And here we go again with the Brady thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you would assume that Brady's got a couple of productive years left in him of health, and that's a big assumption. But you really want to grab a guy that high in the draft and then sit him.
Well, the Pats have the 43rd pick. That's the pick they got from San Francisco. I don't know why they couldn't just pick a quarterback there. If we're talking about this being in such a deep class, you know, 6-7 quarterbacks deep, maybe 4 or 5 in the first round, there's got to be good talent there that's possible develop and build around talent at the 43rd pick. But you need... You're going to need multiple offensive linemen because you've got 3 tackles that are all offensive linemen you're not bringing back. You've got 2 running backs that you're not going to be able to bring back, both in Lewis and Burkhead. You're all set at wide receiver, likely. You might need 1 to 2 tight ends if you lose Gronk. And then defensively, we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. You need all kinds of help there. You can't go and trade multiple picks and multiple assets to go up and get a 5 years from now piece because you have to win now with Brady here because this is your best chance.
All right, if you want to get in the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. If you want to go ahead and jump on in, of course, we are live at First Republic Brewing Company. Stop on by on your way home. This place, hey, good crowd here. Very good crowd.
Yeah, they're pouring in.
Great specials, 8 different types of IPOs. IPOs are
is
the stock market.
Isn't that like a business takeover?
I think that's the stock market.
Oh, okay.
IPAs, 8 different. So stop on by. When does the barbecue get here, Brady?
The barbecue's going to be here soon. We got brisket coming.
Nice.
I'm, you know what, in the commercial break, I might just sneak on in the back there.
All right, Brady, what is coming up next?
Jeremy Schaaf, one of the most recognizable and long-tenured voices of ESPN. He is going to join us. I can't wait for this talk.
All right, Jeremy Schaaf next. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on Friday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. An interview now we've been excited about all week. It's finally time to go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, and we find ourselves Jeremy Schaaf of ESPN, co-host of E60 on television. You can see him on Outside the Lines and SportsCenter, and he's the host of the award-winning Sporting Life podcast, which you can find on the ESPN app. Jeremy, thanks for being with us. How are you?
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and I got to ask you, as I ask everybody when we talk to them for the first time, you've been in the Northeast for a long time now. Have you ever been up to Burlington, Vermont?
I have been to Burlington, Vermont. I believe it's only once, though. I was at a UVM hockey game. I want to say it was the winter of 1989-90, something along those lines. John LeClair might have still been playing at UVM, or might have been the season after he left. But I went to Cornell, and when I was in school, I used to cover their ECAC games. So we'd go on the road trip to. At that time, it was the Cornell road trip was, the road partners were RPI and UVM. I don't know if they still are. And so it was a tough drive from Ithaca up to Burlington, and I think, as I recall, I came very close to dying actually on that trip. It's a long story, but an 18-wheeler almost crashed into our car that had gotten into a snowbank and all that. But we survived and made it to the hockey game, as I recall. But I can't remember for life of me if Cornell won or if UVM won. They still have a good hockey team up there, right?
Yeah, still have a good hockey team. Frozen Four back in 2009. Many NHL players. So still doing well up here.
You know, Cornell's been having a great season. I've actually been to two Cornell games this year. I was at they beat Harvard at Cornell. I was at that game back in November. I think Harvard was ranked fifth in the country at that time. And then when Cornell was ranked fourth in the country, I saw them play at Yale. And Yale, I don't think, is even very good this year, but it ended in a 3-3 tie.
Well,
but I love college hockey. College hockey's great.
I was going to say, here I was with all these hard-hitting journalistic questions, and who knew we were going to talk college hockey at the beginning?
Hey. You know what, college hockey back in those days, John LeClair was awesome. RPI had Joe Juneau, who was awesome. I always enjoyed college hockey. It's a great game.
Jeremy, as I said, you're the host of the Sporting Life podcast on the ESPN app. My brother is actually your producer, so give me the skinny. Is my brother doing a good job or what?
I got to say, I'm very impressed with the job that Troy has done. You've obviously trained him well.
Oh, that's good.
I think he's like 16, though. I'm sure we're in violation of some Connecticut labor laws, the fact that he works for us, but you would never know. He was 16. I mean, he looks 16, but he acts like he's like 40. He's an excellent writer. He's very conscientious. He certainly has a bright future. I'm very nice to him because I figure one day he'll be my boss. But I'm not sure that he's actually of majority. I think he might. How old is he?
He is 22.
Wow, he's 22. He does look young, though, doesn't he?
He does look young, but I appreciate the kind words. Jeremy Schapp of ESPN with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. As we mentioned, you're the co-host and one of the developers of E60, and I got to ask you, I spent last weekend watching a lot of E60 reruns on ESPN News in addition to the Olympics, and I was fixated on the story.
I like that.
Yeah, I was fixated on the story of Travis Roy, the former Boston University hockey player, paralyzed 11 seconds into his... Well, he was paralyzed into his 11 seconds into his first shift. We actually work and play. Yeah, and we play in his wiffle ball tournament every year. So it was cool to see that footage.
Oh, you guys do? Okay. Yeah, the E60 crew, a big crew of E60 people goes up every year for that event. I've never been, but we send up a big crew to benefit his foundation, and they do nice work.
Now take me
nice work. It's a sad story.
Take me through the process of how a feature like that gets made. How long does it take to do? How long does it take to put together?
Well, it depends. I mean, there are stories that literally we work on for years. There are other stories that we turn around very quickly in a matter of days. But a typical story, something along the lines of the Travis story, will take a few months. Usually it's several trips to do interviews. There's the process first of finding the stories and pitching the stories, getting them greenlit, going out, identifying the people you want to interview, what you need to shoot, what kind of B-roll video you need, what kind of specialty shoots the producers will create. And, so there's the whole process then of shooting the piece. And then there's the process of scripting the piece, and then the process of editing the piece, which often takes 2 or 3 weeks in an edit house. And then there are revisions. Everybody kind of at E60, everybody gets a chance. Everybody on the staff to weigh in with their thoughts about the pieces, and then typically the producer will go back into edit, and the reporter will, you know, work on the script again, and they keep refining it until they make it the best that it can be. I mean, it is a painstaking process, but it's all to make the pieces as good as they can be. It's time consuming. It's as I said, painstaking. But there is this commitment to making these pieces, you know, as powerful and as journalistically sound as they can be. And it's really something they've perfected. I mean, I think about the pieces we did, you know, 25 years ago when I started working at ESPN, and how relatively primitive everything was back then. And we thought we were doing a pretty good job back then. But the pieces now, they're like, they have this amazing cinematic quality to them. Storytelling is really precise. And I marvel at the work that our producers and our cameramen and our editors do. It's remarkable. And to be doing it every week is quite a feat.
Jeremy, one of the things that I've long admired about your work is that you are a true journalist still in an age where we just all want to get information out quick. How important is that distinction to you to be able to tell long-form stories and put together pieces that do take, in some cases, years?
Well, you know, it's I'm very fortunate that I have the opportunity to do these kinds of stories. There aren't a lot of places in TV, in journalism these days, that have the resources or the know-how to do these stories, and then when you do them, that have the reach to make an impact. You know, there just aren't a lot of those kind of shops where they're doing this kind of work, and so I'm very lucky, and it's very gratifying. I mean, you want to do work that makes an impact. You want to do work that people get to see, and you know, I've been at ESPN, as I said, for nearly 25 years, and throughout that time, you know, I've had the opportunity to do work that, as I said, I think, you know, it's good work, and it's work that people see, and that it can, in some ways, you hope, affect change minds, get people angry or move people or inspire people. And, you know, it's really a privilege to get to be able to do that kind of work.
Jeremy Schapp of ESPN with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.com. Jeremy, would you rather cover an event? Like, we always see you involved with the World Cup. Would you rather cover the event front-facing the audience, or would you rather tell the stories from behind the scenes? Like, I remember the E60 on kind of the tragic nature of getting ready for the World Cup coming up in Qatar in 2022. Which side would you rather be on?
Well, you know, I'm lucky that I get to do both.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I certainly enjoy going to some of the big events over the years. I've had great times at, you know, the Tour de France and the World Cup and all the Olympics I've covered, the Euros. I mean, I've gotten to do pretty much everything you could hope to do covering sports. But, you know, the stuff that really sticks with you, you know, are the stories that make that open eyes and change minds, change hearts and minds. And Qatar was a good example of that, a story that I think really brought a certain amount of awareness to an issue where there had been very little, particularly here in the U.S. And I think it became part of the conversation about the World Cup in Qatar in 2022. And it's still, I think, something that people are curious about and is driving some of the conversation about that particular World Cup. So, you know, it's great not to be doing the same thing all the time. You know, these days I don't do a lot of events. There are very few events I get to do anymore. I didn't go to the Olympics this time because, you know, now I host E60 and I'm in studio typically a couple of days a week or more. And so that's great. You know, I've spent a long time doing it. I've gotten to, you know, be in person at most, just about everything you could, as I say, want to see in sports. But now getting to do the stories and host E60 is really, you know, what I like doing.
Have any of the stories that you've gotten to tell jaded your opinion of sports at all?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, if you spend any amount of time in this business, you can maintain your appreciation for sports and for the remarkable skills of the athletes, for the way that sports inspires us and gets people excited. I mean, you know, sometimes that's something we kind of overlook. I mean, you know, if you're an Eagles fan, I don't have to be an Eagles fan, but if you're an Eagles fan, that experience you had a couple of weeks ago when they won that Super Bowl, that kind of, you know, joy that was felt, you know, there are very few things in life outside of, you know, personal experiences with your family, that kind of thing, that can bring people together that way and give them so much passion and so much joy in a moment like that. I mean, that's, you know, I'm a fan of theater and the arts, and I love going to a museum or hearing a concert. That kind of, that's all great. But at the end of it, you're not standing up going crazy cheering the way that you do if your team just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
for the most part. So there's sometimes we underappreciate that element of sports. So that's great too, but. But, yeah, certainly, you know, I've seen enough, particularly in the world of college sports, that makes me cynical about it. And, you know, it's about hypocrisy. You know, if you're saying you stand for one thing, but you're actually doing something differently, then, you know, I've got a problem with that. And we see that a lot in college sports. We don't see it as much in pro sports. You know, it kind of, it is what it is. You know, this is a business. This is about making money. We don't gild it with, you know, all the benefits of, you know, being a student athlete and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, where so much of it, particularly in the revenue generating sports, is about generating revenue.
Yeah. Jeremy, tell me about, you mentioned college. Tell me about one of the more controversial experiences you've had. You were the first interview with Bobby Knight after he left Indiana, and from what I've read, that got pretty heated.
That was pretty heated. That was an interesting experience. It was kind of memorable for me. It was a big deal because Bobby had just been fired, and he was the big story in the country at that time, and it was a lot of pressure, and it was a live situation. I mean, you never see something like that, really, where it's a one-on-one interview with a big newsmaker, the guy who at that moment is the guy everybody wants in the chair, asking questions. He's kind of he is a cantankerous guy, and he can be an intimidating guy, and it was also live. You know, typically you're doing an interview with somebody, you've got a safety net because you're taping it, you know, unless you're doing some like quick post-game interview or something like that. But a situation like that where it's a high-profile, high-pressure, big news-making interview, and you've got a certain amount of time to get it done and get to the key points and prevent, you know, filibustering and all that kind of stuff, it's a lot of moving parts for the interviewer in particular. But you know, it was a great experience. Once you do something like that, everything else seems kind of easy. You know, and that was a great experience. And you know, if there's one thing I can say I can be thankful for to Bobby, it's that he chose me and I got to do that because it was certainly something that raised my profile.
Jeremy, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm 28 years old. I remember waking up every Sunday for the first 16, 17 years of my life and waking up to the sports reporters, which your dad was a major part of for so long on ESPN. Your dad's an icon in the business. Was it ever tough for you to forge your own way in his shadow, or was it easy to break off and do your own thing?
Look, you know, they're always going to be you know, a different kind of set of pressures and expectations when you're following your father into the business, particularly if he's somebody like my father, who is really well-respected, legendary in the business. But, you know, you kind of know that going in. So for every way in which, you know, challenges are presented because of that, there are multiple benefits. You know, there's entree. You know, there are connections. There is just having grown up in the business, you know, kind of almost serving an apprenticeship your whole life, so that, you know, you understand the world in which you want to work in a way that other people, you know, have to spend years figuring out just because you grew up in it. So, you can always complain, oh, you know, people are going to be unfair, they're going to make unfair comparisons, they're going to have unfair expectations, and all of that might be true, but it's certainly doesn't offset the many terrific benefits and privileges and advantages you have in that situation.
Jeremy Schapp, one of the best of ESPN, co-host E60. You see him outside the lines in SportsCenter, and he's the host of the award-winning Sporting Life podcast. Jeremy, we appreciate the time, the perspective. Keep treating my brother well, and look forward to seeing what's up on E60 and the Sporting Life next.
He's a good man. Thank you so much for having me on, Brady.
All right, there you go, Jeremy Schapp. Wow. You know, one of our listeners came up to us during the interview, was like, wow. Jeremy Schapp, man, love that we were able to get him on, Brady.
Yeah, that was great. And like I said, my brother's his producer, yep. And he threw a little shade at him, but that was funny. So
that's his job.
Yeah,
right?
Glad to hear he's doing
it. I heard you bring up the Bobby Knight situation. I remember it vividly. You're not your father. What do you say? You're not your father?
Something like that. Yeah.
You're not your father, Jeremy.
But you talk about a guy that was brought up in the business and made the best of it. I mean, so many people who are. Grow up right into something like this where they have a father or a mother in a certain business and they have no interest in going in that direction, or they try it and it doesn't work out. But I love listening to him on the weekends here.
By the way, we are live at the First Republic Brewing Company here in Essex. Ooh. Come on by.
Look at this place.
Tell you what we're going to do. We'll get you to the top of the hour. Brady will have a SportsCenter update. We'll come back. We'll tell you more about the specials here as we get you ready for Steve Levy, my buddy Steve Levy. All that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Brady, tell everybody where we are.
First Republic Brewing Company, Essex, Vermont, everybody. This is the spot to be.
Yes, it is.
And now that it's Friday at 5, I have a feeling it's going to get even more crowded. This is a great spot. Look, I've been here a bunch of times. I love this place. We've got the foundation SOAR is here as well, and they're raising money for veterans coming back from back from service. We appreciate them. So, look, it's great beer. They've got great barbecue here as well, great food, and now it's a great cause also. So what a way to spend a Friday night.
Absolutely. So stop on by. Brady and I had a chance to catch up with my buddy Steve Levy of ESPN. This is what Steve had to say. All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. I can't wait to get to our next guest. Oh, I'm so pumped up because he's an ESPN personality. He does play-by-play for hockey and college football. He was at my wedding, and he gives great presents. It's Steve Levy. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, that wedding was a long time ago. Imagine if you got married again, how much better with inflation the gift would be, brother. Plus, my job is improved too.
The sick part is I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. How long ago was that? And I got to tell you something. What a waste of money. I'd rather have the money. Boy, that was an expensive wedding, was it not, or what?
Right. That was a good time, and that it's worked out is terrific. My wedding also was good, and it didn't work out in the end so well. So I respect the longevity of the institution. Good for you guys.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Hey, Steve, Brady here. We'll get back to some funny stories. And you went to Oswego like I did, so I got to ask you some Oswego questions too here.
Sure.
What motivated you to get back into play-by-play for college football? Because you've been everywhere the last 2 years. Outside of SportsCenter, you've been on the road a lot.
Yeah, it was an opportunity that came to me, and actually it really happened because of Monday Night Football. So Mike Tirico left to go to NBC, and Sean McDonough slid over and took Mike's spot, and that left an opening in college football, and they offered to me, and I gladly accepted. And that's been a whole lot of fun. People forget I did college football for like 5 straight years, but it was 10, 12 years ago. And at that point, ESPN sort of came to me and said, look, you got to make a decision here. You can be a studio guy or a play-by-play guy, and I chose the studio path. But when this came back around, It was a lot of fun. And I tell people this, and I really try to be honest. If you know me well, you know my first love is and always will be hockey. But my favorite sport to broadcast is football. There is nothing better than a college football Saturday, 80,000 people, wherever we are. And it's the culmination of a long week of work and preparation and meetings. But the payoff is really indescribable. It's just a blast for 3.5, sometimes 4 hours.
I never thought I'd say this. You're one of the old men of ESPN. How long have you been there?
I'm a survivor, guys. I have been there now coming up in like 24 years. So
wow.
I've been one of the lucky ones, you know. The industry obviously has changed a lot, and our place has taken some hits. And so I've been one of the lucky ones to be able to stick around.
Steve, what's changed about being a SportsCenter anchor since you started? How has the product evolved? How have your responsibilities evolved?
There's just much more of it, right? So, back in the day, there were really three live shows, as I remember. There was the 6 p.m., there was the 11 p.m., everybody remembers the big show with Keith and Dan. And then there was, when I started, people forget this too, when I started, the show was 2:30 a.m. Eastern time for 30 minutes,
wow.
Okay? And so the kicker is, and we got every score in. I mean, the worst possible baseball games, Seattle-Oakland on a Tuesday night, we got a highlight in, right? And nowadays, we'll do 90 minutes, and that game never sees the air. So the difference, obviously, we do much more investigative journalism, many more reports from, campsites, from NFL training camps. There's much more conversation. Back in the day, it really was strictly scores and highlights. We didn't have really reporters in the field. That just didn't exist. So it's changed an awful lot. Now you can get SportsCenter 24/7 on your phone or on your devices. And so that's changed a lot of it. I'm not sure it's better for the anchor. It certainly is better for the fan. And that's ESPN's number one goal.
I don't know if you remember this. You must have gone through the score so fast. You were doing SportsCenter with Tirico. I think they yelled in the ear, "You got 30 seconds to kill." And Levy turns to the camera and goes, "And congratulations to Arnie Spanier for having their first child, Shay." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, do you remember that, Steve, or what?"
Now that you say it, I do remember. It's hard to forget the name Shay, so I get that. How is our young goaltender? How's he doing these days?
2 years of junior hockey, and now we are picking the college. We're trying to figure out what college he's going to go to. So that's still being sought out at this moment, but close.
Not drafted by the Canadians yet.
No, but believe me, I'm not done hitting you up about that. We've got 4 more years left, that's for sure.
Steve Levy of ESPN with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Let's move over to hockey. For a long time, you and Barry Melrose have been the main hockey influences at ESPN. How is it to be the champion of hockey in an industry where hockey is fallen behind to the fourth sport?
That's a good question. It's an interesting battle. It is a daily battle when we come in. The on-air guys and gals and the producers behind the scenes, they can really drive a lot of the content, which is interesting. It's not like an ESPN philosophy, and I think people miss that. It's really based on the people who are working on a particular show. What I mean by that is, hey, the 11 o'clock with me and Butchergrass is going to have more hockey on it than the 1 a.m. or 10 p.m. Pacific time with Neil and Stan. And Neil loves hockey as much as the next guy. But a lot of it is driven by all the people on the show. So it's not like a company-wide philosophy. So the people that love it fight for it. I mentioned this on Twitter. It was last week. It was a random, and I mean random, Islanders-Red Wings game. There were 8 goals in the third period scored, which you just never see anymore. And sure enough, it was like a third story on SportsCenter. Ugh. And I'm like, hey, I wasn't even working. I was on the couch at home. Like, way to go, people.
Yeah.
That's recognizing a news story. Let's forget about the sport or where it fits in, slots in to the big 4, big 5, big 7, whatever it is. And so I think that is fair. When it requires and deserves the attention SportsCenter gives it to them, and certainly in the playoffs, Melrose lives in Bristol for really the first 6 weeks of the playoffs, and then we hit the road and go to the Stanley Cup and do the best we can from there. So it is a nightly battle. We continue to fight the good fight. As you know, hockey people are among the best people out there. I often say in this crazy world we live in, if there were more hockey fans, The world would be a better place.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, Steve, we carry the Bruins up here. I don't know how much of the Bruins you get to watch, but what
a lot.
They're on a roll. Tuukka Rask, the streak that he's on has been tremendous. I didn't see this at the beginning of the year, but they'll probably end up catching Tampa. I know they're 3 points behind, but they got three games in hand. It's just been a great run.
I also did not see this coming. Pretty sure they got off to a really slow start and sort of couldn't find themselves, and people wondered about Butch Cassidy and Bruce, or his nickname Butch, as you might expect in hockey. So he's done a terrific job sort of weathering the storm. Patrice Bergeron is having the best year of his career.
Yep.
I don't know, is he 35? Is he 37? I mean, he'd have to be considered an MVP candidate. He's always up for the Selke, but I think he has to be considered for the MVP. Brad Marchand is a legitimate superstar in the league.
Yeah.
If he could get away from being suspended every other month, that would be helpful. And, you know, the real interesting part is they have done it with reduced minutes for Zdeno Chara, their captain. And that, you know, that's never an easy transition. Here's a legendary superstar, I think an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer when he calls it quits, a dominating defenseman in his era, but that probably has passed him. But he's still good.
Yeah.
He still plays a lot of minutes, but not as many. And as Charlie McAvoy looks like the future for sure in Boston.
Yeah.
Steve, I was up until 1 in the morning last night watching Team USA in Slovakia. I was up at 7 a.m. watching Germany and Sweden today. Are you watching Olympic hockey?
I've caught a little, both the men's and the women's. I'll be honest. Look, you see the USA jersey. How can you not watch?
Yeah.
The timing is difficult, obviously. I had my my twin boys in front of it watching the other morning at 7 in the morning before the school bus came. So that was cool trying to introduce them to, you know, Olympic hockey. But I just don't recognize any of the names, and that's kind of hard. It's good and bad, right? It's great to give these other people the opportunity to play for their country. This is an opportunity otherwise they would never get. I love Brian Gionta, the whole thing, you know, his whole story. And he's been a great leader and ambassador for the sport, a captain everywhere he's been. But I just don't know the guys. So you learn some of their stories, and then you root for them like heck. And I'll be honest, I turned it off the other morning. I know they were only up 2-1, but they were out shooting the opponent in a big, big way, maybe 3-1. And I, you know, went back on Twitter later, and I saw they lost 3-2 in overtime. I'm like, whoa, what happened there? So the U.S.-Canada women's games are always really good as well. And look, if you like hockey, you love Olympic hockey, and I love the big ice sheet as well.
Yeah, Steve Levy, big ESPN personality, joining us here in the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. People might not know, you are also a big-time actor. You've been in about, a half-dozen movies. How's the acting career still going?
It's a little dry, I got to be honest. It's a little slow. There's nothing in the pipeline. If, you know, people should know, I didn't get in these movies because I could act. I got in mostly because my friends were the producers for these movies, and apparently my friends are either no longer my friends or they're not producing any movies anymore. So, but it's been slow. The royalty checks have really slowed.
Steve Levy, ESPN with us. Steve, so I mentioned you went to Oswego State. Like, I went to Oswego State. Plattsburgh country up here, though. Oswego and Plattsburgh doing battle again on the ice this weekend. You ready for Oswego-Plattsburgh again?
Always circled on my calendar, honestly. I have tried to go every year. You know, people who don't understand Division III hockey really should take a look. And I know you can stream it online and all that stuff. But I remember, you know, I was at the old barn, the old Romney Fieldhouse, which really was a barn, an actual barn, yeah. Arnie. Brady, you probably didn't even get there either, right? You're way too young for that.
Romney Fieldhouse was about 2 years prior to me going to school there.
So now there's a sparkling brand new arena in the middle of campus, which is flat out gorgeous. It's got glass windows behind one goal, which looks out onto Lake Ontario. I mean, it's a Division I facility, really is. And the highlight of the schedule always is when Plattsburgh comes to town. I have such fond memories of the rivalry. Back in the day, and again, I was there a long time ago. We would go to Plattsburgh, and it was such a big deal at the time. Plattsburgh was the only team Oswego would play that actually ran someone out there, a real live person, to sing the national anthem. In the other buildings, including ours, there was like a taped recording of the anthem. But Plattsburgh, they rolled out a carpet, and here came an actual person, And I was like, whoa, I'm broadcasting an NHL game here, you know? So,
that's awesome.
I hope for good things. I know Plattsburgh's having a bit of a down year. I also know they cheated in 87 dropping a 3-0 of a national championship, but that's, we'll let that lie.
Steve, I'll get you out of here on this. One of my biggest regrets of college was I was a junior, so we're looking at here May of 2011. Since I was a journalism major, I pretty much had no finals ever. So I left Oswego on, like, Wednesday. And then I find out that on Friday before graduation, you were at Green's Ale House drinking beers. And I wish I had stayed that long to go to Green's Ale House with you. And Green's Ale House just closed. I don't even know if you knew that, but I shed a couple of tears when I found out about that.
Yeah, I wish you would have stayed, too. You could have bought me a beer.
That's right. Absolutely.
And next time you stop by, feel free to buy me the Steve Levy sub at the Oswego Sub Shop.
That's right.
That's a real crowd favorite, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm missing out on the Steve Levy sub. Steve, I'm glad we had a chance to reconnect, buddy. It's been way, way too long.
Me too. You, Arnie, I feel like we were hanging out. I don't think I was even at ESPN when we were hanging out, bro. Right? Visits to to Arizona, Phoenix, the desert, I'm trying to think, that could be 91, 92, kind of, I didn't get the ESPN until 93, so.
Yeah, no, you were there, because I got married after that, so.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you were there. You wouldn't get in the pool with us because you're afraid that one of my buddies would, like, hit you in the face while playing basketball and you didn't want to do Sports Center with a black eye.
Hey, you got to prepare and protect the moneymaker.
Steve, thanks very much. I certainly appreciate you stopping by.
You guys be well. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go, Steve. I told you I knew Steve Levy.
I've never heard of you. That was all an act.
I told you I knew him, for crying out loud.
The entire sequence, he was just going, yep, okay, sure.
I'll never forget that. Like a couple of days before we're getting married, all my friends were at the pool playing basketball in the pool, and they're yelling, come on, Levy, get in the pool. Get in the pool, Levy. And Steve turns to me and goes, do you think I'm going to get in the pool with those knuckleheads?
I love that he called you bro.
Yeah. He is, by the way, he has the best hair in all of TV. There's no doubt about that.
Him and Barry Melrose in the same set. That right there is quite a good
It is. It is awesome. There's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, I did call Steve when my son started the hockey process 2 years ago. I go, hey, in Canada, I go, okay, help me out. He's like, because if he was going to the NHL, I could help you out. I can't help you out now.
You know, it's funny because I didn't know that, and now I know why he didn't respond to any of your messages over the last 2 years trying to come on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you had annoyed him about.
Oh, totally annoyed him.
So I wouldn't have gone to bat so hard. I probably annoyed him. Arnie, really?
I made him hook me up with Melrose so I could talk to Melrose about my kid.
I can imagine Arnie bothering someone on the phone.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I never see that in the 3 o'clock hour every day.
Yeah, shocking.
I could have given you Melrose's phone number.
Yeah, but I wanted Levy to go ahead and bother him first. Let him know what was coming up before I just full-fledged attacked him. But anyway, good to see the great job Levy's doing. You know, he was just a hockey guy back in the day. Now, obviously, college football play-by-play, as you mentioned. He's just blown up, and he's been one of the longtime guys over at ESPN.
He's talking about like 24 years.
Yeah, that is insane.
And by the way, something else that was insane, I just have to mention. People just brought over a smoked turkey breast with, they call it crack barbecue sauce, because you can't stop eating it.
It's delicious.
It was one of the best sandwiches I've ever
eaten. They have, well, it's Mark's Barbecue. They got the Beef Eater, which is smoked brisket sandwich on grilled bread topped with crack sauce and coleslaw. I'm not sure what the crack sauce is, but it's damn
not
good.
We don't know exactly what it is.
It is damn
it's very
good.
Addictive. Yep.
The Barbecue Cubano, a slow roasted pork with sweet ham, house pickles, sweet cheese, and of course more of that crack sauce. The Sloppy Pig, the slow smoked pork shoulder. The Vermont Gobbler, of course, the smoked turkey breast with the grilled apples. I think I had that. The Sugar Shack Melt, the maple cured ham, and all kinds of stuff. So we got all kinds of good food here.
Yeah, that stuff was dropped from heaven. They just put it in front of us. I was like, I don't know what that is, but I think it's a sandwich. It wasn't your typical sandwich. It was very
elegant. Oh, it was delicious.
Very gigantic.
We do have Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, coming up in about 40 past the hour. So you want to stick around for that. But, Brady, what is coming up next?
The Red Sox are really mad at some people they're supposed to be really close to.
All right. We'll get to that story coming up next, and you'll want to hear it on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball.
Ah!
Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. We are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Member coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Power play, the noon exciting game, sweeping the country. Fabulous prizes.
But we made it very difficult.
You did make it
very
difficult.
We did not dumb it down.
No, well, they're going to have such great prizes, you might as well make them earn it.
We should just give them away $1 million.
For this one, yes.
Yeah, we'll see if we get a winner. I'll give you a hint. It's on the Presidents. Since it's President's Weekend.
The Dead President's Band?
No, not that one. No,
Presidents of the United States of America Band.
Yes. No, not that one either. Real Presidents of the United States. So that's coming up in about 20 minutes from now. By the way, we are live at the First Republic Brewing Company out here in Essex. The place is happening. I didn't know this was going to be this many people coming to watch a show today.
I drive by here 4 times a day every day for work because I live, this is the way I go home. And it's like, I've never actually noticed that this place was such a zoo all the time. They tell me it's like this a lot.
It's sweet. And by the way, I could smell the barbecue on my hands.
Oh, smells pretty good, doesn't it?
It's awesome. I can't wait to...
You're going to be smelling your hands all night?
Yeah, doing that more. All right, Brady, what is coming up now? What are we going to talk about?
The Red Sox are really mad at WEEI, which is their radio station in Boston, their radio affiliate that all of their games are on. And we... When we air the games, we're getting the feed from WEEI. That's how this works. But WEEI is the flagship of the Red Sox, and they've had a lot of issues lately from the Christian Fourier stuff, the former Patriots suspended for a insensitive impression of an Asian American person. You had Alex Reamer, who was the one who called Tom Brady's daughter an annoying little pissant. And you throw those two things together, the Red Sox are not happy with WEEI, and they have gone to the head of WEEI, Entercom Entertainment, who owns WEEI, and they've complained about it formally.
Just a couple things on that. First of all, one host called Brady's young daughter, obviously, you know, was wrong, but, you know, it's not like he's dropping F-bombs on the radio or anything like that. The imitation of Don Yee, obviously wrong also. But remember now, they went with WEEI because of the station's ratings, and those ratings are based on the way they've done radio, and that's the way they've done radio for about 20 years. So, you know, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. They didn't mind the high ratings when they signed up with EEI, but now, let's be a little bit more politically correct.
Well, it's a tricky slope that you have to deal with here, because at one point you have absolute as big a battle between two radio stations as you can possibly have in the city of Boston between 98.5 The Sports Hub and WEEI. They are battling each other. They're hammering on each other all the time. They pay as much attention to each other as they do their own product.
Right,
it seems
right.
Like. And it's really nasty down there. So you've got to win in a place like that where the competition is so extreme, have to come up with crazy ideas that get publicity. One of them, of course, is to just go off the air. EEI is apparently doing that. Was it today?
It was today.
And we can get to that in just a minute, but I mean, you have to be extreme with some of the stuff you say. You can't just ramble on about stats and box scores. You've got to have hot takes on everything. And in this day and age where everything that comes out of people's mouths insults somebody, it's going to happen. I'm amazed this doesn't happen more often regarding sports teams and their affiliates.
Well, Sam Kennedy, who's the CEO of the Red Sox, says that we'd like to see more sports talk, more debate and dialogue around our sports teams, but we understand it's not our call. Our interests are perhaps misaligned with talk radio. You have controversy and sensational dialogue happening where our interest would be to have interviews with players, dialogue that involves sports and the Red Sox. Yeah. And as far as that goes, look, that's how I like my radio. I think people who listen to the show can tell how each of us are wired, okay? I am more of the straight and narrow and try not to deviate too much from that. And you can't have that all the time. I think I've gotten better at deviating from that when appropriate, but I don't try to go too far beyond it. And WEEI will constantly go too far beyond it. And I would rather have interviews and analysis and that stuff. And that's what Sam Kennedy is saying. But Sam Kennedy is also a pretty laced-up businessman. It's not surprising to me that he thinks that way.
Well, the Red Sox want to be as G-rated as they can possibly be. Let's face it. I mean, everything from who sings the national anthem. They are very, very cognizant of anybody that they could anger with the smallest thing. Whether it's somebody throwing out the first pitch, it's all very much choreographed, and there's people that design this stuff in the back rooms. And they make sure that everything they do isn't going to offend anybody. They want it. And it's that way at minor league parks, too. I mean, that's always been the Lake Monsters deal, too. Make it family friendly. Make families want to come out. But when you're aligning yourself in a nice G-rated broadcast with these lunatics on the sports talk and their hot takes every day, it can, I'm not sure what the end game is here.
They've been around, let's say 20 plus years. We're talking about two incidences. Whether people were cognizant or not, you're going to come up with two mistakes in 20 years, whether you're a shock jock or not.
Right. You're right about that.
Yeah.
But they've been
in the last
2 weeks.
Steve Kerr had a racial slur that he said he didn't even know was a racial slur. He's had a couple controversial statements. So, you can't just go ahead and, pick on a station because in the last week they've had two incidences. And one is from a guy who's a very young kid, new in the industry or somewhat new in the industry. Perhaps, just trying to, break ground, get his feet wet. So that's not really fair on what's going down the pipe here at WEI.
But the reason it's coming up is because you say it's only two incidents in 2 years, 20 years. It's two incidents in a week and a half. That's why it's coming up now. I've never heard this until now. I mean, I think they want to put this fire out before it becomes an inferno.
Well, and remember, I know I'm remembering correctly, it was the WEI hosts who caused a controversy last year about the Adam Jones situation in Boston, where the Red Sox came out and were looking to, they said if you make racial slurs, you're going to get evicted from the stadium and suspended from Fenway for life. And it was the WEEI radio hosts that were saying, we need video proof. How does no one have video with
this? Is that wrong, though?
It's not necessarily wrong, but it's the anti-position that the Red Sox were taking. The Red Sox, as Rich said, are trying to do, quote, the right thing in every possible situation. They're trying to air what I think is correctly on the proper side of getting on the right side of those issues. Now, the WEEI host went contrary to that. And you might not think it's wrong to say, well, hey, in this day and age, how does nobody have proof that Adam Jones was taunted that way? The Red Sox, they weren't willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, and they don't like hearing their affiliates say that way either.
I think it's wrong to throw somebody out that didn't say that, so I would have to have proof before I said somebody was permanently banned from my ballpark. I'm just not going to take somebody's word at it and say, yeah, it was that guy or that guy. You've got to give me some visual evidence before I start throwing out some type of gauntlet or some type of punishment, though.
As far as the Red Sox ability to, quote, control WEEI, though, I don't think they have any, really. You signed the agreement, Arnie. You said this at the beginning. You signed the agreement. This contract between WEEI and the Red Sox goes until 2023. They are married to each other, for lack of a better word, for the next 5 to 6 years here. So you were enjoying WEEI when it was beneficial to you, but now that WEEI has smeared itself through the mud a bit, you want to backtrack on it. I understand you being concerned, but understand you knew who you were getting into bed with when you did.
And the thing, too, you don't see very often, and it surprises me it doesn't also happen more often, is the fact that, I mean, if you're working for WEEI, can you hammer on the Red Sox? I mean, really hammer on them if they've lost five in a row or whatever and just, I mean, I'm always amazed because this must happen all across the nation for flagship stations of sports teams. I mean, do you think that 98.5 The Sports Hub has more of a right to go after the Red Sox than the team that is making money?
You would know. You were on the affiliate of the
Cowboys. I'm on right now. I'm on the affiliate of the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
I'm on affiliate of a lot of
Yeah, but that's different because you're doing national radio where you're syndicated on those stations.
Well,
you used to
work in Dallas.
Yes, where you worked in Dallas.
You get the sense they're holding back a little bit because they're trying to be careful.
In Dallas, we were the flagship of the Cowboys.
Okay.
And there was no hold bars back, nothing back. Matter of fact, our afternoon show, we'd call Coach Wade Phillips Stumble Doofus. And I thought that was completely disrespectful because you could say anything you wanted about the Cowboys. You could say Jerry Jones was the worst GM in the history of football. You could say he doesn't know what he's doing. You could say that every coach should be fired, every player should be fired, and nobody said a damn thing. And nobody even said anything about him going Stumble Doofus, but I thought that was completely disrespectful. If you could say anything you want, you don't have to call people names. That was my thing on that.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. And I remember asking this question one of the first times I was in the business, one of the first days I was in the business, asking the question to my boss saying, so are we allowed to talk bad about the Yankees? And we weren't the flagship.
Right.
We were just an affiliate, but saying, are we allowed to talk bad about the Yankees? And he said, yes, as long as you're respectful and you're telling the truth, then you're allowed to say what you want about them. And again, we were just an affiliate. Maybe it would have been different if we were in New York City, but that's how it was relayed to me.
But that's what's so weird about it now, in this day and age where hot takes and ratings are everything. I mean, how do you walk the line to be respectful when you want to sit there and trash the team that's making your money, making money off of? I think it, 20 years ago that worked, but what is respectful in this day and age?
Glenn in Moncton said Dennis O'Callaghan had gotten in trouble years ago for racial comments. I don't know. I'm not up on those guys' career. I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of hosts have got themselves into trouble.
Is Dennis and Callahan, are they the same person? Because it's Kirk and Callahan.
Oh, Kirk
now.
And Callahan. I'm sorry. Maybe
is
I...
Dennis,
no,
is Dennis...
John Dennis and...
Okay,
I don't
so...
know what Callahan's name is, but yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, look, there's... And I'm assuming the Red Sox knew this when they re-upped the contract at WEEI. I don't like when the Red Sox say, you know, we'd like to have more interviews. Hey, you want to have more interviews?
Then provide your players.
Yeah, provide your players. Everything goes. You know, they can talk to anybody. You weren't providing David Price at the time. I'm sure that everybody wanted to go and have him. You know, you can't have it both ways. And by the way, the day of radio where you get to hear, you know, the guy talk about his life story in the 45 minutes of, let me tell you how I broke into college. Those days are over. Nobody wants to hear that.
But, I mean, it's tricky because now, you know, in a place like EEI and all around the country, you're going to, from 6 to 6:20, they're talking about some player's hot wife. And then at 6:20, the pregame show starts. And all of a sudden, it becomes completely the opposite of programming.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, look, we'll see how it turns out. We'll see. This is not going to be the... By the way, do we know what programming they had? They just went nationally, or what did they go?
I don't know exactly what... But they're owned by Entercom, who I believe owns CBS, so wouldn't
right,
shock
yes,
me if
yeah.
they did CBS national programming.
I can see that happening. That certainly makes sense on that. All right, coming up next, Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. You might as well start calling up now, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. I'll give you the three possible answers. How about that? Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, or neither? Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither?
President's Day is Monday.
Yeah,
right.
So if you're a president's guy, yeah, better start getting through now. Not all that tough. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country, coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how we play. Oh, people love
people
Power Play.
People are clamoring for Power
yeah.
Play.
Let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. There you go. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, we don't care, you'll still hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you knuckleheads, you guys got question four wrong, well, you're probably right, we still don't care, and you'll hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, Brady, what are we going to get from the prize closet today?
Well, I got all kinds of T-shirts. I probably got some free movie passes.
Ooh.
Back there. Got some barbecue.
Yeah, we got that too.
I got lots of stuff back there. But we're not getting a winner today.
Wait, well, let me give you the three possible answers.
Wow.
Since President's Day is Monday, we three possible answers that Brady came up with was Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. So, Brady, if I said to you, first name is Thomas, you would say?
Jefferson.
Oh, you're so good at this game. Rich, if I said to you, and think hard, his first name is Abe, you would say?
That's Lincoln.
Wow. These guys have never missed a question. Brady, if I said to you, he was the first president of the United States, you would say?
Neither.
Because neither one of them was the first president of the United States. People, you see how easy it is? I mean, I don't know why you guys have to make it any tougher than it has to be. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. So without further ado, it is time for Power Play. I wanted to make sure I knew what the hell I was talking about. All right, here we go. First up, Michael in Williston. Michael, are you ready for Power Play?
Yeah.
All right, speak up, Michael. What are the three answers?
Jefferson, Lincoln, neither.
All right. Confidence level so low on him, it's not even funny.
I can't even hear him over the music.
Yeah, well, that's okay. He's not going to get any of them right anyway. Sign the Declaration of Independence.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Born in Kentucky.
Neither.
All right, you're answering phone calls.
There you go. That opens up a line then if you want to get in. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. I know three-year-old kids that can recite President 1 all the way in like a minute. Boom, 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 boom. Three-year-old kids.
You know what? They're still not getting 10 right.
Well, you don't know. That three-year-old kid could win this.
We just got one. Somebody's got one.
Yeah, somebody got one right. Is JoJo in South Hero there? JoJo,
yes.
Are you there? JoJo.
I'm here.
Okay, we can hear you, JoJo. What are the three possible answers? Okay. Confidence level very low for him also.
If you can't get a
yes,
phone,
confidence
that
level. Sign the Declaration of Independence. I'm just going to assume he got that right. Born in Kentucky.
Lincoln.
Yes.
His vice president was Hannibal Hamlin. I think you got that one right.
That.
Went to college at the University of Virginia.
Thomas Jefferson.
He was guessing the whole time.
How in the world do you know Hannibal Hamlin?
I was thinking, oh, Hannibal Lecter? Wasn't that a movie? I go, is that right? Do we have to double-check three right now?
The TV station's here, and they're sticking the camera in our face.
802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672, like presidential trivia, because, of course, President's Day is on Monday. Aaron having a hard time answering
he's
the phones
the
back there.
He's the only one doing everything.
Yes, well, you see, you know, that way Brady gets a newfound respect for what we have to do. You know, when we have to, you know, get the right power play, we have to get the questions, we have to research it, we got to get the callers. And by the way,
would you like a
am I, is it my imagination? Do I feel like Aaron cut us off?
No, he's got a call.
Aaron, who's next up, Aaron?
Dan in Jericho.
Dan in Jericho. Dan. Dan hung up on us.
No, he's gone. Hold on.
I think.
Oh, wait. Oh, he said. Listen, Aaron thinks he's there.
Aaron's going to say no. I know better.
No, I said he's gone.
Aaron's having.
He's dead. Gone.
Well, get somebody else, Aaron. We'll wait around and play the music. If you want to get in the power play, 802-655-6672. I'll give you a hint. Signed the Declaration of Independence is Jefferson. And the second question, born in Kentucky, is Lincoln. All right.
How is that possible? Aren't the Illinois license plates Land of Lincoln?
He represented Illinois. He moved to Illinois. He was in Indiana for a while, too.
All right.
Wow. Look at you trying to confuse us.
There's also a Lincoln University in Tennessee.
Wow. Now you're really confusing everybody.
Confusing.
What are you doing for crying out loud?
If we can't successfully get the phone calls, we're just going to start plucking people out of the crowd here.
Yeah, or I'll just start reading the answers because we're never going to get a winner from the crowd or from the phone. Aaron, let us know when you get somebody on the line. 802.
We got someone.
655-6672. If you want to jump in, 802-655-6672. I'm not even going to mix up the questions. And the first two answers, Jefferson and Lincoln. That's how tough it was. Last week, we made it a lot easier, Rich. You knew every answer.
Well, if I know them, you know it's got to be easy.
Yes, exactly.
I knew one out of the 10 here.
Brady?
We haven't gotten to it yet.
People are afraid on your presidential power play.
Aaron, did you say somebody was there or no?
Yeah, Vincent Grand Isle.
Let's go to Vince.
Vince is always the guy who texts me about Taco Bell, I think, on the Town Fair Tire text line.
Vince, are you ready for power play?
I'm ready to
Vince
go.
Laughing. Yeah. Now he's on.
Aaron hung up on Vince.
Oh, Aaron's having a tough time now.
I heard him talking during the beeping. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what, Aaron? That's okay. Take a deep breath.
Let's pull people out of the crowd. Who wants to play?
Sir, you know your presidential trivia? All right, here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. Question, it's either Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Sign the Declaration of Independence.
There you go.
Jefferson is correct. Born in Kentucky.
Lincoln.
He
got it right. Speak. All right. His vice president was Hannibal Hamlin. He's there.
No,
sorry about that. Brady, you wrote this very hard. I mean, it's very presidential trivia.
We got two people that are coming up to play.
All right, here we go.
State your name, Chicago Bears fan.
Nathan.
All right, here are the three answers. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Signed the Declaration of Independence.
Jefferson.
Jefferson's correct. Speak up there, young man. Born in Kentucky.
Neither.
Oh!
No! Oh, no. People are having a tough time with that. All right, what's your name?
John.
John. All right, the three answers, Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Jefferson, Lincoln, or neither. Signed the Declaration of Independence.
Jefferson.
Born in Kentucky.
Lincoln.
His vice president was Hannibal Hamlin.
Neither.
Oh, no.
That's fooling everybody there. All right, you know what? Maybe should we just go through the answers?
Let's just go through the answers.
Signed the Declaration of Independence. That's Thomas Jefferson. Born in Kentucky. That's Lincoln, even though it's Land of Lincoln.
So bizarre.
Illinois is Land of Lincoln.
Yeah.
His vice president was Hannibal Hamlin.
That would be Lincoln.
Do we know anything about Hannibal Hamlin?
No.
How would anybody know that?
But you know that Aaron Burr is Thomas Jefferson's vice president.
Yes, we know him. Yes, we do know him.
He's the one who got in a duel.
Yes, got in a duel. I love that. I think
we should
have
the only thing he did in his life.
We should have 101.3 duel night. That'd be so much fun. Went to college
20 paces.
At the University of Virginia. Was neither. Where did they go? Thomas Jefferson went to?
William and Mary.
Mary, which is a great school.
And
there.
Lincoln did not go to college.
Wow. Served less than 1 year in the military.
That's Lincoln. He served less than 1 year. Jefferson served like 8 or 9.
Born on April 13th.
That would be Jefferson.
Who would ever know these questions?
I would know that one. Had more children.
Oh, come on.
That's Jefferson,
as far as we know.
Yeah, what was the ratio?
Six to four. Jake and Williston texted in. Tweeted in and goes, this was my day. I called four times and got hung up on each time. I've done it.
Wow.
Hashtag history major.
Really?
Oh, no.
Was president during the Civil War.
That's Lincoln.
Of course.
That one I knew.
Also served as the country's vice president.
That would be Jefferson. He was vice president under John Adams.
Abraham Lincoln, I don't think, ever won an election until he went president. No, I'm serious.
I think he was in Illinois something.
I don't even know. He might have been, I don't know. Maybe he was appointed. I don't know if he ever won one. Until
Senator, we're hearing.
All right. It was Senator. We'll see. I'm going to double check that. And was president when Vermont became a state?
That's neither.
Wow.
Vermont became a state. I want to say it was 1819.
Rich knows.
I don't know.
You lived here all your life.
1791. It was the 14th state, though. It was just outside of the 13 colonies.
Wow, that's
we
too...
they know every answer sitting 5 feet in front of us.
Now they know every answer. When we're giving you the answer, yeah, I know every answer because I got it in front of me. Alex Trebek is the smartest guy in the world because he has every answer in front of him. Alex, why don't you play the game and see how much you know? We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Wow, what a full day. I want to thank the people here at First Republic Brewing Company. Just a fantastic setup. Absolutely. I had a great time here, Brady.
Yeah, Mark's Barbecue, too. We got to thank them because they were bringing us over samples. That's the stuff that you're going to want to go to. And by the way, I just got this handed to me. This is something I've never heard before. Mark's Barbecue will bring, they'll deliver food here, and you can have your food from their establishment and your beer here all at once.
Nice!
So you talk about dinner and drinks, you can have both two separate places coming together. And we got to give a shout-out to the people here at First Republic because one of the co-managers, so we got Danielle and Sean, they just had a baby. Baby Fiona, born healthy yesterday.
8 pounds, I get that, am I reading that right?
Eight pounds, 5 ounces.
5 ounces, born. February 15th.
Is that her sitting at the bar right
there? Unbelievable.
Seems a little early.
Congratulations to Danielle and Sean and baby Fiona into the world February 15th.
And by the way, am I in last place in the beer
tally?
Yeah,
I think you're in last place. I think I am winning. Caught in Webs, number 3, is winning. Then Brady, the Republic Pale Ale, that's beer number 4. Then, of course, your beer number 7,
right.
Rich.
Kolsch. Right.
Kolsch.
The least alcoholic beer in
the
whole board.
Well, that's the way you roll, Rich. Brady, what do we got coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night tonight?
Champlain Valley Game Night, we're going to go through the best sound bites in sports. Batting practice, we'll talk about running back options for the Giants in free agency. And does the Eduardo Nunez signing impact the Red Sox ability to get J.D. Martinez?
All right, thanks to intern Aaron, even though he's not an intern anymore, who had a tough time.
He earned his $2 an hour tonight, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you better bring him something back to the station. You know, he wants some of that IPA and...
He's not old enough to drink.
Okay, he's not having any IPA, so forget about that. More for us, then.
Maybe
more for us.
Coke.
For Aaron, for Rich, for Brady, I'm Arnie Champagne Valley Game Night. Coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.